Okay, it is 5 o'clock, so I'm going to call the meeting to order. I'm going to rearrange things just a little bit, if that's okay, because Mar is going into a meeting at 5:30. So as soon as we approve the minutes, I would like to call him, and then we'll do our introductions of our new members and stuff after that, if that's okay with everybody. Okay. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from November?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, is there a second? Is there any discussion on the minutes? Okay, if not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, and there are no people from the public. So I'm going to call Mar now. He is the chair of the Human Rights Commission for the City of Northfield. And does everybody have the information that was sent out to us for them? Okay.
Reach the voicemail box of...
Oh, that's not good.
Well, I hope he wasn't trying to call me, but we'll wait just a minute.
Hello?
Hi, Mar. This is Shelley Huseby calling.
Yes, hi.
How are you?
Good, good.
Good. Okay.
Now that you're interested in this.
Yes, we are at our Human Rights Commission, and maybe I will just have the people go around and introduce themselves so you know approximately there's 10 people in the room, but just to say their names, okay?
Sure.
Janelle Summers, I'm administrative assistant with the City of Willmar.
Ben, nice to meet you.
I'm Nate.
Sean Meske on the City Council.
Barbara Little.
Jill Benson.
I'm Marlon. Nice to meet you.
Vicki Davis on the City Council.
Okay, go ahead, Mar. The floor is yours.
So what exactly, you all received the documents I sent, right? What exactly is what you want to learn about it and what you're most interested in?
What our questions are... Basically, is how it came about in Northfield for the municipal ID. I mean, we have read through the information that you got, that you sent, looked at that large booklet with all the letters of support and stuff, and maybe what the process was, maybe
sure.
what some roadblocks were, and then advice moving forward.
Exactly. Okay. Well, the whole movement started when with a change in the government, many people in town, and we have approximately 12% of the community in town out of 20,000 that we are, census of 2010. So people were afraid. They needed support. The whole community was showing them our support, and then because I'm part of the community because I'm from Spain, but I'm not from Latin America or one of those immigrant groups. But and I've been in the U.S. since '96 and in Minnesota since '98. So we had a facilitator that came from the Twin Cities, and he works for the City of Minneapolis. He's a great leader in the community, and he came to give workshops on what to do, know your rights, what to do if immigration comes to town, and all those things. And out of the conversations, he said, you should be united as a community and create some type of community plan. And in talking about that, and that was around January 2017, he was talking about the municipal ID that other cities did in other areas of the country. And some of us in the audience thought this is a phenomenal idea for the city of Northfield that praises itself as a very welcoming community. We thought, what a better way than not just say it, but have something that really shows that we are all equals in the city and we are all the same. So we started talking about how we tackle this, and so we had several meetings. We did research on how it works in other cities and so forth, and then when we were ready with our research, we approached the city. So the city, both the city administrator and the mayor, were interested in the work of Neighbors United and what we're doing in town at the time, because we were working also with housing issues quite a bit, and that's how the group started. So we had the first meetings with the city, and they had some questions, kind of, so go research how it would work in a city like ours, and how many people really support this. So we started a petition, kind of collecting signatures from people. And we have two colleges. We also had a lot of support from the students. They were very excited about this. So we started creating this coalition of groups in town that would show the support. And that's how we started showing, kind of numbers and how many people were in support of this. And that was very important, because they needed to feel that it's not just a few people in town, but show everybody's support. And the support didn't come only from the immigrant community itself. It was from many different groups. And that's why when we collected letters of support from many different groups in town, we also had the signatures that went all the way to almost 900 signatures of support. So that was the process. Then we... the city council and the mayor decided that the best way to present this to the city council would be through the Human Rights Commission. And it so happened that the advocacy group, Neighbors United, two of us, are also part of the Human Rights Commission. So we worked from both ends to bring this. So we did a presentation for the city council. That was September 2017. And then the city had their own time to do their own research, and they did work with the city attorney and so forth to create the ordinance that would work for Northfield. Most of the ordinances are very similar, that they lay out exactly what are the documents that the people in the city will accept and all of that. So they're not very, very different. And the city was looking at the Milwaukee ordinance, as well as others, and they did their own research. So from the presentation to the city council to the actual vote, the presentation was September, the vote was December. And then we started the implementation in June. It's through the library in town, is the ones that they're having their staff there working on having the pictures taken and the documents reviewed and all of that. So, and that the library started doing them in June. And so far we have over 300 already made. Now the city is exploring, and they did that already once with one of the colleges, to go where people are instead of waiting for people to come to the library. And the only, I think, kind of question mark we received along the way was the collecting the data of people. What happens with the data, and is this something that any agency can access, and then have a list of people? And the research I did is that I called New York City. That was the one that had an issue with that, and it wasn't an issue at the state or federal level. It was an issue within their own city. It was from council members that, in the spirit of derailing the program, and they have a very robust municipality program in New York City, they wanted to access the data of the databases and the list of people that were applying for the municipal ID. They didn't succeed, but that changed the way New York City and many other cities, including ours, did the way they collect the information is collected, in that when people come to get their ID, there's no photocopies or any documents kept by the city. So the city only checks that the documents are okay, that people are bringing either a birth certificate or a passport or a city ID or whatever document is allowed in the list. People check that the document is correct, but they don't keep any copies. So the only data that is kept by the city is basically what appears in the card itself. And the information in the card is the name, date of birth, address, and just the minimum information. So that was a major question from different groups. And if you, let me know if you have questions.
So you said the library is carrying it out, is administering, but who issues the card? Is it the city itself?
So yes, it's through the city system. The city already had a machine they were using for their own cards, like the staff employees' cards. So they're using the same machine. They didn't have to purchase any new equipment. So the only the cost for the city of Northfield to do the cards has been purchasing the pre-made cards that they come with the layout of the card, and then they input in the city. They print out the name, address, and so forth. It has a cover that has the hologram, so it's well made. That is to deter fraud. So the city investment was for those cards and for the equipment to do this. So a camera, and they're using a laptop. So it's not very costly that way. And of course, the city didn't allocate a lot of budget for this, except the purchasing of the cards and the camera and things like that. But and the system goes through the city, so the information is collected at the library and then is printed at the main machine that is in the city hall. But the team members from the library are kind of using their own time to do this, but it's not like an overwhelming amount of people every time that they're doing the cards, so it's doable. And then the city didn't have in their ordinance what other cities have in terms of if there's any fee that people cannot pay, the city would cover the cost. So the city didn't want to do that. So my group with Neighbors United, we did a fundraiser and we collected over $1,000 to cover for the fees that low-income people in town or the students from the colleges cannot pay. So they can have the card, and the nonprofit will cover the cost of that. So, one of the talks was, do we have some type of a fee, or is it free card? New York City, for instance, is free, but I insisted that we needed a fee because the few voices against the program were saying, we don't want this to be without taxes. We don't want our taxes to cover something like this. So having a fee is kind of saying to people, this is a system that will pay for itself. And since we also have the fundraiser for the low-income people, it's not a burden to the city. So this is why we have the fee. And maybe down the road, it could be eliminated. But, and it's also that the card is for almost all ages. So other cities will say, you can have your card when you're 16 and older. In Northfield, even children can have their own card. So if a whole family were to come, that would be great for them to have the fund to cover for the fee.
Right. Mar, what is your fee for the card?
So it's $15 okay. For adults and $10 for students. Okay. And then if you have to renew it, it's less. I believe it's $10 for everybody or $7.
Okay.
Interesting. How often do they renew it?
said it would be
more. So it's for 4 years, and so we have, and one of the data that we didn't have in the beginning is the issue date, and apparently that's needed. For instance, the Consulate of Mexico, they're now allowing the card to be one of the official documents people present, and they advised us to do also the when it's created, so both dates, not only the expiration date, but also the issuing date is now present in the cards. And we also have, as an incentive for people that they don't need a card, but they would like to have one, so an incentive, and this is following New York City's example, is we have a booklet of coupons from many different businesses, local businesses. So they, when people get their car, they get the coupon, and they can have free coffee here and whatever, different things in town. And it's a long list of businesses that support the program.
I'm curious, you say you have had 300, that's in about a year?
No, it's not been a year. We started in June.
Do you have any idea of who... what category of people is taking advantage of this most? Who does this seem to be most appealing to?
Well, for the immigrant community, is really great to have a document that is issued in the U.S. Mm-hmm. for them on top of the other documents they have, and not all the immigrants can get the municipal ID because they need to present a bunch of documents and prove that they are residents of the city. So not everybody can have the card. We're also, we know that for seniors will be something that will help, especially the ones that they don't drive anymore. And that's one of the groups that the city is going to be going to where they live, like retirement communities around town. And we have a bunch of them. So they're the intention of reaching out to the people that we need this. Another group that is also benefited by this type of card is homeless people. That they can, and we have both youth and adults that are homeless, they can get the card, and for them, with a, so since they don't have an address, it would be, we have two organizations in town that will be giving their address for their cards. And that's been true in all the cities that have done the municipality.
What's been the response of law enforcement, and how have they responded to the cards?
Well, when we did the presentations to the city, from the beginning, the chief of police was present. And at first, he was kind of skeptic of if this would be of benefit to him. But as we work with the city, and along the way, he contacted several of the police chiefs and police stations around the country that have done this. And they all said what we said to him in our research, that police in all the cities that have done the municipal ID have seen an increase on the trust in the police and an increase of people calling the police when they see a crime, and they feel more confident calling them with having an ID that they can present to them. So the chief of police became a big proponent of it, and when they did the first kind of trial records, he did one of them, and he was the face in the local newspaper saying, yeah, we're launching this program, come get it.
I see there's an ID. There's an ID number on the samples in San Francisco, Oakland, and New York here, but you said the city does not keep a track of any of the information given, and even do they keep track of the card and the number and the address and such? Or?
So they keep what is in the card itself. So they keep the name, the address, date of birth, gender. We have three options, male, female, X. And so that's all the information that is on the card is in the CD. So the machine, the software, the way it is, it has the all the information in the card is kept in the software of the machine. But it doesn't show the, for instance, doesn't show country of origin, it doesn't show what type of document you presented. It shows that you complied with the document, so it is collected that way. The another feature the card has is that it has both the name and the official name and the preferred name. We are still working with the city for the transgender community and see how they can benefit from it, because if the preferred name and official name are side by side, for many transgender members, won't work. So we're still exploring ways for them to be benefiting from the card, because they would love to have a municipal ID. But otherwise, the other the documents are not kept. And then the way we created the campaign was that this is a way for all of us to be the same in the city. So in a way that it wouldn't be the immigrant card or the senior card or the homeless card. So all the kind of protected classes, if you wish, are under the cushion of many people in the community that otherwise they already have documents, that they have a driver's license or they have a state ID. They don't need this card. They would do it as a support for the welcoming part and symbolic part of the card.
Well, thank you, Mar. I know we're close to 5:30 when you have to go into your other meeting. Is there any other last questions? I mean, we can always call again or talk more, but any other questions right here now? Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very appreciative of you sharing all this information and taking the time to meet with us tonight. So,
let me add two couple of things.
Sure.
One is that the city here, one of the things that was bothersome to people when we started the process is that they said that the documents that show that you're a resident of the city, they had to be issued within the last 3 months. So people will come with an Excel bill or a phone bill from 6 months ago, and they will have to go back home and bring another one. And then at some point they will allow people to show, because at the beginning it was on paper, and then they said, well, if we have the bank statement on my phone, can this be used? And now that is also allowed. And the other thing, when I presented to the Human Rights Symposium in the Twin Cities last December, people in the audience were like, oh, this should be a state ID. So at the same time we have the regular state ID, we could have, instead of a municipal ID, a state ID for everybody, with the same sentiment that everybody can access this type of ID. And it benefits some people more than others, but it shows that they're valued residents in the state. So that was the sentiment of some people in the audience. So there's interest from cities, and again, some people were thinking even larger move. I don't know if the state one will go, but there's many cities interested in this. And, of course, Minneapolis now is also doing it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Do city employees have a photo ID?
Mm-hmm. Sean has his, but they are done at the county office. We don't have the equipment at the city.
It seems like in some ways a county ID would be better than a city ID because of...
Yeah, they look at this and they have a magnetic strip and... Some people, I think the strip gets them into doors and stuff, but this one does not. It keeps you out of everywhere.
Right. Except from alarms going off.
Yeah.
You do it, right?
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, the technology, we would have to make an arrangement, but we have the technology at the county building.
And that's owned by the city or the county?
The actual facility stuff?
No, it's the technology.
It's county.
The county, okay. Well, it seems like the ordinances and stuff would be easy to write up. I mean, it's already written up for other cities and the policies and what IDs, what you would need to get it. I mean, that's already there. Mm-hmm. I would just question if we would have the support among people in the city. I mean, they got 900 people to sign up.
Well, it's they had to get the petitions signed and have coalitions that were formed. Those types of activities, I would think we would have to hear.
Yeah.
And Northfield is a wildly different demographic.
Right.
Now, can you get is there such a thing as a state ID that you can get a state ID even without a driver's license?
Yeah. Right.
Yes. For people that don't drive, corresponding ID.
Because they mentioned people with disabilities, and I was thinking there's a lot of people with disabilities that would benefit, but they can also get a state ID.
Yes, they can get a state ID.
Is this cheaper than the state ID? What does the state ID cost, though? That might be
It's similar to a driver's license cost.
Okay.
So this would be significantly less expensive.
I would think that's issued the same place as driver's license.
It is.
So that would be a plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this would be way cheaper.
But that could be a question. Mm-hmm. If you can get a state ID, why do you need a city ID?
It'd be cheaper. So if you don't have the money for the state ID.
How much do driver's licenses cost?
Let me look.
I just renewed yesterday for like $25.25 or something like that. But that's a renewal. So if you haven't had one or you don't have one.
My son just got his first license today and his was 16 or something.
16?
Yeah, I wouldn't think that money would be the biggest factor unless...
Yeah, it's not huge. If you're under 65, it's $17. If you're over 65.
When you apply for the first license, what do you have to you have to pass a test.
Mm-hmm. You had to have a permit, Social Security.
And what?
Social Security.
Social Security.
Yeah.
It's the documentation that you would need to present.
So it's the documentation that
works. You need more than one thing. You need several things. Where I think with this municipal ID, if you had one of these things.
Yeah.
You could get the municipal ID versus having the Social Security card and a birth certificate or an I-94 you have to bring more than one thing in.
More than just an electric bill.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem difficult for a homeless person to have any of these proof
But
of
you
IDs?
Probably would have a pay stub.
If you're homeless?
Probably
wouldn't have anything.
For residency.
You
have I have a hard time finding
stuff.
My Social Security card.
I know.
But then they would use an organization's address.
But for ID, for proof of ID, what are they going to use?
Yeah, that'd still be difficult.
That's definitely something that we run into at the Salvation Army and Family Promise is that people don't have all of these
documents
to prove anything of where they live or
they are.
And the way that I am seeing this is that when people do come into places or social service agencies, if we could get social service agencies on board to support this and create, or it would it could change their entire way of doing it instead of requiring people to search for their passport and a electric bill and all of these things. If they have these municipal IDs, well, if all the agencies will recognize them, then it will expedite service time and just expedite the whole process. So,
but how do they get it in the first place if they don't have these documentations?
Well, yeah, I guess I meant more so after the fact of getting it. If you need assistance or something like that, it expedites that process. But you're right. To get it, you'll still need those things, but...
Right, because, every agency needs to see it again. And in the process, documents get lost sometimes, where you're right. If they have found it, produced it, have the ID, then they have it.
Right.
Then they have that card.
Right,
as long as they stay in the municipality.
Right, and it's using your... The perfect example is for myself. I use my Social Security card once every 6 or 7 years and then lose it for that amount of time. And then the next time I need it, I have to track it down. So it's if we can expedite some of the processes and alleviate some kind of burden for even the agencies in town. I mean, that's a huge benefit for all of those people. So
I liked the idea of them going to places so you don't have to go to a certain building to get the ID too. I think making the ID more accessible would be a plus. Because like I know my grandma couldn't get to get a state ID place.
Right.
Unless you had a ride and all this other stuff set up. So I think that would be a benefit, to especially senior citizens. I also like that kids can get it. I think that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
I would assume their technology is mobile to do that. And not owning hours, they would definitely not let you leave.
Sure, yeah.
We'd have to make some kind of an arrangement with that as well.
But I'm wondering if you just took the photo and verified the documents.
Could you take it in?
If you could take it back, yeah.
Well, I think our kid do that.
Yeah.
I don't know, we take photos of our clients when they come in, and then they upload it on to their record.
Yeah.
A couple of times I've opened up a new patient and saw the wrong picture in there. Mm. And it doesn't last long because it's usually humorous and we deal with it. But in a situation like that where it's coming from, that might be a problem, a verification.
Yeah. That's true.
But it doesn't happen.
Are there members that are interested in doing some more research on this, looking at the ordinance, finding some more information? Because, I mean, according to the map, Northfield's the first in Minnesota, but now it sounds like Minneapolis has done it too.
I'd be interested to see if there's support for it. I can do a little research on that.
Okay.
How does the city work with petitions? I mean, does it have to go to a petition, though? That'd be the...
They're going to want somebody that has a sign that says they support it.
Okay.
They're going to use them as support. Beyond, if we're going to do something like this, we have to identify champions that are going to move the process.
Right.
Because this isn't as simple as just bringing an ordinance recommendation to the council. This is, we're talking about a lot more things that have to happen.
I guess getting in touch with the law enforcement, see what their thoughts are, would be first.
When we talk
to the sheriff.
When we talked to the sheriff and the city police, they both seemed...
And you talked to them?
Right.
That came up when they were here, right? Didn't they both think that the idea was a good idea?
Oh, wasn't that the driver's license for...
Yeah,
driver's license for undocumented.
That's
what they thought was a good idea. They both supported that.
What did they support?
Persons who are undocumented having a driver's license, being able to get a driver's license.
And this wouldn't affect
this
driving
is not
at all.
A driver's license.
No.
But Representative Baker was supportive of this idea. I thought when he came and spoke with us.
Municipal ID or undocumented.
He's the same thing.
I think
the
that
driver's
was a driver.
License.
I was confused.
I think it was the driver's license.
Because he and I and Andrew Lang had a lengthy conversation about that right after Andrew was elected, and Baker supports it because law enforcement supports it.
Oh, I see.
So,
what's the status of that issue? Like nowhere right now.
I don't know because. You know, the governor could be an executive order.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard anything about it. But okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about if there's a next step for this, and then I want to do introductions again of the new members and stuff. So, Ben, what are you going to do?
I'd be interested to see if there's support among different community groups first. And I don't know, could we do this as like a working group? Maybe send out an email to see who's interested and then from there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe do it that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not as easy as we think it's a great idea. Let's bring it to the city council.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be a process.
Yeah, a little more than a monthly
meeting. Okay. I will draft an email and move. Do something to move it forward with our committee, if that's okay.
I still have a little confusion. I'm not sure where to go for that clarification. Is what's the advantage of a city ID over against a state ID? And is it because somehow the documentation bar is lower?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So, for example, if you were undocumented, you would not be able to get a state ID. But if you had something from the Mexican consulate, which most people have with their picture on it, you probably would be able to then get.
Right. I mean, a pay stub from somewhere in Wilmer, or a utility bill, or something you could get.
So that reduces its value to people with disabilities, with senior citizens, who are people who probably would get the state ID, because that's valuable beyond just Wilmer.
It seems like everybody who could get the state ID would get that before this.
Right.
This would be for people that aren't able to get a state
ID. Does the state ID allow you to vote?
Yes.
It would be everything that
as long as you are not, as long as you don't have a guardian.
Yeah.
You know.
I think there's other benefits though too, especially like I have a 12-year-old that lives with me. She can't get a state ID, but I would be interested in her getting a municipal ID.
Right.
For sure.
I mean, and the value is for the citizen of your city to be able to function within the city.
Right.
And the value is also to say that we value that person as a member of our community. So that when I get a state ID, I don't feel like the state values me any more than they do. It's more of a, I think that's what you heard from her as well, as it was a response to say you are a valuable member of our community.
Right. Like for example, if someone didn't have a driver's license or a state ID, they couldn't open a checking account at the bank, but they have some agreements with some banks that if someone has a municipal ID, they can open a bank account versus having to go to a grocery store and cash your check and pay a fee every time you have a paycheck. You know, you're bankable then.
I can see that.
There'd be some kind of a special account, because banks also have to have social security numbers and things to meet the other banking rules.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Right.
Yeah. But I guess most people probably don't deal with transactions that affect what the banks have to have.
Right. But if they're getting a paycheck from somewhere, chances are they do have a social security number. I mean, not everybody who has a social security number. I mean, there's a lot of people who have social security numbers who don't. That doesn't mean they're here illegally.
No.
They just have a different kind of documentation or a student visa or something. They're legal to work, you know. But okay, I'll draft that. So we have two new members on our Human Rights Commission. So I would like us to go around and introduce ourselves to you guys, and then Nate. This is your first meeting. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
And Vicki, new council member. Welcome. And then if you guys would introduce yourselves to us. So, Janelle, if you want to lead off again.
I'm Vicki. I'm Janelle Summers. I reached out to you as far as information, administrative assistant with the city, and kind of liaison doing the minutes. So,
cool.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Ben, I know both of you guys.
Yeah.
Sean, same thing.
I know you.
Mm-hmm.
We've met a time
ago. I'm Jill Benson, and I know we met at the Tim Walz Could Be Governor event at Lulu Beans.
Yeah.
I think we talked then.
I think so too.
Yeah, but I work at Ridgewater College.
Yeah, awesome.
Marlon Brames, and I know both of you.
Yeah. Richard Ingham, had an office downtown, next to Vicki's place. Mm-hmm. Vicki's son-in-law works with us.
Yeah. And I'm Vicki. Go ahead and introduce yourself to us.
I'm Vicki Davis, and I think you all know me. I manage and own the Goodness Coffee House, and I'm newly elected to the City Council. So.
Great.
Cool. And I'm Nate. I know most of you, but I work for the Salvation Army full-time. I work for Family Promise part-time. I work for the radio station out here in the evenings, and I also run a youth garden with Ben and a couple of our friends to help get vegetables in the hands of people that don't necessarily have access or money to it. So I thought what better way to continue making an impact in the community than joining a group like this. Why not add another thing to my schedule?
Right.
Is that out at the Technical Campus here? Is that the one? Or?
That's the one, yep. That's the garden, yeah. Well, the greenhouse. The garden's not there. We're using the greenhouse now.
The greenhouse there, yeah.
The garden, you know, got unruly, so we jumped ship somewhere else.
Better site.
Yeah.
Well, welcome, both of you. We're very happy to have both of you on the commission. And again, just welcome and thank you. I have a little bit of an update about the city website. I've had some correspondence back and forth with Dave Hillebrand, and we can link. We talked about linking some things regarding, you know, HRA and renters' rights and different things. Can we link them through the human rights page on the city website? And, you know, right away he's like, yeah, just tell me what to do and I'll link it. And I'm like, well, hold on, I am not the person to be talking technology. So, but there is the capability of linking some of that stuff. There is, and specifically a lot of things that are already on the city website could easily be, you know, another link through our page. And then also adding a page if someone wanted to contact us through the city website, he said was no problem also. So, I mean, I think that's kind of a missing something right now. Yeah. Like, except for, you know, I mean, your email is on there now, or will be, and Sean's is on there, you know, as a direct link, but otherwise there aren't, you know, links to our emails. But it would be nice to have, if someone wanted to send a message to the Human Rights Commission.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
He said that that is absolutely possible too. So, thoughts about that? Do we want to create that? And are there other things that we want to, as we're going along, think about linking? I think we should link that HRA information, because right when I brought that page up, all of it was right there. Tenant rights, you know, everything kind of that we talked about, it's on the city website, but it's under housing. It's not under us, so.
Sure. So it's on the city website, just isn't under us.
Yes. But he said it would be very easy on the human rights page to put a link to that other page so somebody wouldn't have
to. So it would link them to the what the state has published? These kind of things?
Oh, you found those.
Huh?
You found them.
Yeah. I was stealing them from the library one day, so.
Okay, so a link like
you
that.
You rebel.
Yes.
If there's something going to be linked to the human rights webpage, do we need to direct that as a group? Do we need to do that by motion or just by whoever wants to put something there can put something there?
Well, yeah, I don't think it's that easy.
It should be.
I mean, I think there has to be some kind of process.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as difficult, from what he said, stuff that is already on the city website. It's already within the content of
so
what
the
city is publishing, so that's easy. But if we had some, you know, other, like we wanted a link to something external that the city doesn't have anything published about right now, then there would have to be a little more of a
like
process
this.
To go through that.
I would assume.
But that is. It's. I think it links to that.
To the
state of Minnesota.
Okay.
Yes.
From the Office of the Attorney General.
Yeah. Because when you go into housing, it's all along the left-hand side are all those links.
You know what else would be nice is some sort of contact information for a larger human rights office.
Okay. State. Did you see we have a new commissioner? Kevin Lindsay did not get appointed as the commissioner for human rights.
Well, they didn't ask us if that was.
No, they didn't. I know. Yeah, that right for the state.
So who is it?
I thought it was a female, and I don't remember what her name is. But I, as he was, as Wells was appointing commissioners, I was kind of watching that and. It was not It's not Kevin Lindsay, so. Would Dave know what the process is for us adding content to the page?
I mean, know more than
we don't have to go through the city attorney, do we? Okay, okay, okay.
Okay. All of our selfies.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Jeff?
All of our selfies.
Okay. So I'll follow up with him again, but yeah, definitely the state human rights, the housing information, a link to contact a human rights commission. Are there other things right now that we want created in our, I mean, I think as we kind of build content,
right,
that's,
I'll have to think.
Yeah, but I think the key is to get that awareness out there. Not that,
right.
How many people go and look at the website, you know, we got to get
right.
Step before that
yeah.
is to get it
right.
out there.
Yeah, but at least it's a step.
First you have to have something there to go to.
Right,
yeah.
True, right.
Yeah.
I'll start with
that's
this.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
I think
it's
a great start.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Other business, John.
I just received today a copy of an email that I'm a little disappointed I just got it today. I had mentioned to you about GARE in the past.
Yes.
I told you they were going to be starting a cohort to look at a cohort model of how to do an implementation of what they normally do for an individual city. I just received it today. I made 8 copies. I didn't know how many people would be here, so they can go around and Vicky, I can get you one later, perhaps.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also have a copy of my email that I received. I don't know if you want that. Because here's the thing. It's starting right away. So I'm not going to read this to you. I haven't read through it all myself, to be honest with you. But in the middle of the first page is what I'm concerned with. The registration was open from January 2nd to February 1st. I just received it today, so we're already a couple weeks behind. And so time is a bit of the essence. It's telling you what's going to get, what the cities that are participating are going to receive, what's expected by the people that participate. The part that is concerning for me is on the second page, what are the participation fees? Because they're going to run this cohort out for 6 months, or 9 months, excuse me, there's several meetings scheduled. They have lunch and such, and they bring in people that they have to put a fee on this so they can actually support the actual process. And they've laid out what the process is going to be, and it looks like it is a fairly robust process.
Right.
Because they, like I said, they're trying to form a cohort model that they can apply across the nation. My concern will be, as you see there, teams of 1 and 2, there's a $500 fee, and teams of 4 to 6 is $1,000. I'm not sure what our budget is or how we free up money for participation in this process. They do talk about the end, or in her email that I received from Rachel Walker, she says that the first workshop, you should be aware, is February 7th. Which is a Thursday in Redwood Falls, and it starts at 9 and goes till 3, as you see on the sheet here. Ike Holland has sent me in with this email. He forwarded to me today, said he would not be participating in this first meeting, but I did not ask him, because I've been in class, I just received this, like I said, just this afternoon, if we have money that we can participate, because I certainly think that Wilmer should participate in that, and if we do, those 4 to 6 people, I would really like to see if we're going to participate that we have 6 people and that they're able to attend most, if not all, of these meetings. And I would think natural people to participate would be our city administrator, and I would look at Vicky and myself from the city end of things, but I would want the other 3 to most likely come from this group. It would make sense. So I throw it out there because we're going to be under the gun of what the group
right.
would like to do. But the first meeting is February 7th, and now there is a fee that is a part of that process. I can hand this out if you're interested. This is just my email. But this defines the time and explains that that if they think the fees may be a barrier to your participation, that you can contact the League of Minnesota Cities. So this was just my email. Feel free if you wish to have that. It has more information under that. I made 8 of those, but I did take notes on one, so there's only 7 of those.
Okay, so I read the email that that Ike forwarded. So was he just planning on not going to the first one or not at all? Do you know?
I did not take it as a not at all.
Okay.
Did you take it that way, Janelle?
I don't know.
You may have?
Mm-hmm. I may have.
Okay.
Well, I'll be in a disagreement with him.
What's it say?
What's that?
Do you have it right there on your phone?
I'm looking for it. I'm not seeing it quickly here. Let's see here. I don't plan on attending, but I want to see, because that doesn't help me. FYI, I don't plan on attending, but wanted the Human Rights Commission to know in case someone can attend. So I can't tell if that is for the first one, for all of them.
Right, right.
But if he cannot attend, does not wish to attend, I will still say then we still want 6, and that's an extra person coming from somewhere else. Because I think the value of this far outweighs the expense of it. It's a matter of coming up with the $1,000. What is it? Do we have a budget?
I thought we had 500.
Yeah, 500 is what I recall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If there was a budget for our council members, you'd be covered.
Exactly.
Right.
That seems like that's something that should be set aside for the city for council members.
Right. I'll talk to
things like this or whatever.
Yeah, we'll talk to Ike about the $1,000. Yeah. But if assuming we can get the $1,000, do we have at least start pondering? If we have 4 people that could participate. You have the calendar there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is a Thursday. It starts at 9 and Redden Falls.
Yeah. I can't go the first day, but I'll go the rest.
Yeah.
But you know, if somebody can go the full time, definitely take full advantage. So.
And I mean, I would think I could do it. Racial equity is one of our goals for our long term plan. So in kind of our 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plan. So it would fit into the work we're doing at Goodwill in addition to this. So
if there is struggles with the money, if we have $500 in a budget, we can justify that. But I would assume Vicki and I probably have some leverage to get that paid for. But maybe even Goodwill could even want to be a partner with our Wilmer team. Because if it's stuff that you could actually transfer, that would be another... I would say they would be another partner in with this whole coalition, which I think is kind of how they're exploring those things. I can float it by Ridgewater. I talked to them before and see if they want to participate as well. That team can be as broad as we wish it to be.
I think we meet again the 23rd of January.
Okay. Can you maybe champion and send that forward, or I can attend if you wish.
I wonder if
why don't you show up?
When is it?
Let me look.
All right.
I'm just wondering if it's something that Woodlands might be part of.
Mm-hmm.
Not that. I don't know. I could
23rd.
Ask.
At 3.
Okay. Where is it?
It is in the same room it was last time.
Under the library?
Yep. Scheduled because of Martin Luther King Day.
I have class at that time, but I'll try to get down there.
I don't think I'd be as eloquent as you.
Who are possibles? So Sean and Vicki, you two.
I don't want to speak for Vicki, but I just thought it would be.
Well, I think it's a good.
Okay.
The only thing in March I can't if it's the first week of March, but otherwise.
We can sub out people.
Right. Yeah. True. Right, because they're standalone topics.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I'd be interested. Yeah.
I'm wondering about that 6. I mean, are these
Barbara?
4 to 6 people that have
or
to then be on that team, or can we different people have different events? Or
well, as I said, I think we could probably you know, if someone can't attend or if that particular topic isn't something that's so germane to something that someone does, I think we could have some flexibility. We're saying we have a Wilmer team participating, and Wilmer right. has lots of facets to it.
Right. Well, you could maybe put me in for a substitute because most of the days are midweek and, you know, I'm working.
Right.
I might be available on February 7th, I think I am.
Okay. I'd be possible. I'd have to check at work quick.
Okay.
As long as I got the dates.
Okay. Okay, I'll follow up with Ike on that too. And Sean, do you want to ask about the money?
Yep.
Is that what you're... Okay.
I can do that.
Okay.
Chanel, if you want to assist in that, we can float the idea. I think we can probably...
You want to wait and see what Richwater maybe says first? Or should we check with the city
if we want to fund the whole thing? I think we should definitely check for sure on our own right
okay.
away.
Okay.
Because that'll just... we'll talk to Richwater as well.
Sure. Okay.
If you wanted to know before the 23rd, I mean, you could always vote by the prison in John.
Okay. So our next meeting date, we got 5 minutes left. Our next, and that Nate and Vicki, we do start and end on time. Okay. So that's the other thing. Is a city council night, because it's February 19th. That would be the next scheduled meeting date, which would be the third Tuesday. Would we want to go before or after that in February?
You change the structure.
I have no idea. Yeah,
you can't count on it. Okay.
Yeah.
What?
This night, because I don't care.
I'm free anytime.
President's
Pretty
Day.
Much.
Is there a holiday?
We could meet here on
President's Day.
President's Day is the 18th.
Sure enough, yeah.
Well, do we want to do that? Meet on the 18th? Meet on Monday night instead of our President's Day or not?
Mm. Can we do that?
It works for me.
Fine with me.
Well, what do you mean, can we?
I mean, actually, can we as a city committee meet on a holiday?
Oh, really?
I suppose not. No.
I just want to think you might
okay.
check into that.
Okay.
It might not work.
Yeah, okay.
We're rattled.
Yeah, I'm not available.
Lord knows I have no plans.
Yeah, notice how we're all available. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
How about
Monday we're all open.
Tuesday the 12th. Does
that's
that work?
That's
okay. Does that work?
It doesn't work for me.
Okay. I'm out that time, too. That's,
okay.
that's fine.
26 works, too.
It was the following?
Or the... I'm out the 26th, too.
Let's go with the 12th, if that works for the majority. For that. It's always hard in this... January and February because of these holidays. So,
I might be able to.
Okay, so 2/12. I am going to email the new sheriff and see if he is available to meet with us that night. That,
cool.
If that does not work, I will go down our list of other agenda items that we talked about last time.
Okay.
In November. Does that work for people? Other items. We have 2 minutes.
Maria is going to step down.
Okay.
Say that again.
Maria is going to step down.
Okay.
Yeah, we have 3 more kids at home, and Maria is pregnant, too.
Okay.
So she's been sick a lot. She hasn't been here in a long time.
Are you trying to catch up to us?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're taking in kids, having more kids. Yeah.
Yeah. So she wanted me to announce that tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell her thank you. So
yes.
When is she due?
In August.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Any other items? If not, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
I second.
Okay. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Yeah.